From NBC News, we love NBC News. New York appeals court reduces Trump's bond in his civil fraud case to $175 million, a victory for the former president. They also gave him an additional 10 days to post the bond. I'm going to pause there to make sure we don't lose sight of what's happening. It is a small victory in this battle, and it is a major loss. Trump shouldn't have to pay any bond. That's he shouldn't have to give any money. What the government here is pulling off is a big ask. They slam Trump with the most absurd amount of money in a fine in history. These bonds don't exist. Then when everyone's shocked, they go, okay, fine. How about $175 million? And now we're supposed to go, oh, okay, great. Yes, you get him. Trump's winning. No, it should be $0. The charges are ridiculous. It was a summary judgment. The New York Times lied about this. In their story about the bond, they wrote, in a months-long trial, the judge said this or that. No. See, they're conflating what was actually going on. The judge ruled summarily that Trump committed fraud.
And then, verdict first, evidence never.
Yep. And then they did a different hearing on whether they said that it was fraud. Trump did commit fraud, but did he alter documents? Now we'll have a trial to make that determination and how much money he has to pay. So in that trial, by giving the summary judgment, Trump was not allowed to say he did not commit fraud. And his lenders were not allowed to say that Trump did not commit fraud.
Yeah, and Gorin had, as you say, a summary decision. And this is an attempt by the political courts in New York. They are political. Most, you know, and you're typically a judge there because you've been selected or elected as a Democrat for the most part. And this is an attempt to kind of pull back a little bit because of the public outrage. You're right. It is not exactly the sort of victory we would want in light of the abuse of Trump. But it is a major slap at Angoran and Letitia James, who were willing to seize a man's private property based on the based on this $450 billion, $440 billion, whatever the number was, a half a billion dollars, and the court just said, not, in addition to that, you're not seizing anything.
But Trump has New York Times estimates $350 million cash on hand personally. And then I think his presidential campaign is what, between like around 50 million or something, 40
right,
something.
Right.
To take $175 million
off the table. I know.
Right. So I don't want to fall into that trap where we're like, yes, no. They intentionally threw out a number they knew would get struck down and reduced to a massive number that would be deemed accessible.
And what's the basis for this number?
Exactly.
What is it? Does it sound better than $464 million? Is that the legal standard? They're making it up as they go along. They're trying to keep Trump off the ballot, out of the election. And this isn't even about clean elections. The left has now decided they don't want elections.
Yep.
And when you try to jail your number one candidate or remove his name from the ballot, that's something Putin would recognize, the dictator in China would recognize. And it's going on up in New York City. Now, there's going to be the Bragg trial, the crazy trial over the Stormy Daniels stuff, that's going to be 3 weeks.
Yeah. God, that's actually going to...
Well, Letitia James' office, after this you know, victory, so to speak, came out, her office released a statement saying, well, you know, Trump is still being held accountable for their crimes. You know, she's not even that upset about it, which should tell you that this is really not a victory for Trump.
The process is a punishment, too.
The only way this is a victory is if there was some kind of slapdown of Letitia James so badly and possibly charges against her for you know, fraudulently prosecuting prosecuting. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only way where you could be like, that's a victory. Because if there isn't consequences for this kind of corruption, then it's only saying, hey, the corruption is actually acceptable.
Yeah.
The level of corruption, maybe we went a little bit overboard, but it's still fine that we have a summary judgment and we tried to take the property of an American citizen who has clearly not been found guilty through any conventional means.
But what's the likelihood that Letitia James would ever face
zero,
even an ethics inquiry?
Zero.
Why are no conservatives, no Republicans doing anything comparable?
There should be. Certainly, the Bidens could be subject to state criminal investigations under the new rules. And what really frustrates me is the Republican-controlled House had a chance to give a haircut to people like Letitia James or Bragg, defund the Smith investigation, target funding for Fulton County, and say if you're violating the civil rights of Donald Trump and other Americans for political purposes and for election interference, you're not going to do it with any federal money directly or indirectly, and we're going to curtail that. They didn't care. They just fully fund the corruption that's going on right now. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And I, you know, I appreciate there are some good conservatives on the Hill, but I think they're often just oblivious to the damage this is doing to our republic.
Yes. I think we need state level Republicans in governor's office, AGs, attorneys general, or prosecutors to just go after Biden or any of these other individuals in a comparable way. I can only see the strategy here being let them make Trump the victim. And the Republicans don't want to come off as like what the Democrats are and give a tit for tat.
The next honest president should direct the Justice Department to criminally investigate this whole group of prosecutors
yep.
for abusing their power to violate the civil rights and interfere with our elections under the color of law.
Yes. Agreed. Yeah,
that's the only way to get the message to other prosecutors that are politically motivated that this isn't going to be tolerated. We have to have a government that doesn't tolerate this kind of stuff. Now, whether or not this is actually going to happen, I don't believe that it's going to happen. But if we want to see a return to normalcy in the United States, the way that you hear people talk about all the time, well, the very first thing is the justice system has to work properly. That means when you commit a crime, you get prosecuted. If you've committed a violent crime, they take you off the streets. If you've committed no crime, then you don't get prosecuted. That's the normal. That's what we should. That is not too much to expect from a justice department or from a justice system. And if you don't get that from your justice system, then you need to revamp it. But all ours needs is to get the ideologues out of positions of authority, take away their power to prosecute people for political reasons, and take away their ability to create conditions in which they can fabricate charges to put people under, you know, and until that happens, we're not going to trust our justice system, and a low trust society is a bad society.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, this is, I think you're right. The next honest president should act. On the other hand, in between then, how much damage is done by people not doing anything to sort of slow this process down? I think, I mean, Letitia James definitely is the lead on this, but there are a lot of AGs who are ideologically driven. She just happens to control sort of the most influential, left-leaning state in this sense.
Well, I think we've got a rising communist revolution going on in the United States.
Yep.
The Democrats were talking about communists? No, but they are certainly taking their approach where the rule of law doesn't apply to my political opponents. We can casually try to jail them without consequence.
They're communists.
The point being, if it walks like a duck, right. But that's the sort of thing we're facing, right?
Yeah.
And so they try to threaten Supreme Court justices. They're destroying our sovereignty through the border invasion.
Antifa's violence, their riots and stuff, that is unquestionably a left-leaning militia that is out to terrorize the population.
They're planning to overturn the election if Trump wins, not because there's fraud, not because there was a problem in the way the administration, the elections were administered, but because they don't think Trump should be president. So they want to overturn the election. They're planning that. And under the DOJ new rules, that's a conspiracy to commit a crime and engage in sedition. What else do we need to say that we've got a political movement in this country that opposes America? It's not unconstitutional. It's this anti-constitutional approach. It's very dangerous. And I tell you, Republicans in the House who kind of took, you know, basically ignored and have been AWOL on these issues, the base is very upset with them. And I don't know what's going to happen in November. It wouldn't surprise me if they lost completely, even if Trump won.
I want to give a shout out to Netflix. Jack Posobiec brought this up last week. Three Body Problem. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, especially the first. It's worth watching just for the first scene to see what we're dealing with.
I'll tell you this. I give the show a C+. I watched every episode. very slow, too much interpersonal drama. Opening scene.
Too much dialogue.
Well, there's not enough story.
I know. I'm just joking.
Like, you know, I don't want to spoil any of the show, but I'll give you a general example when it's like, there's a secret agent and he's been captured by the villain and you're like, oh man, what's going to happen next? And then it cuts to a guy and a woman being like, how was your day? I don't know. I stubbed my toe and I'm like, ugh. Next. But the opening scene.
You're not spoiling it. Give it a, you know, talk about what the scene is.
Yeah, the opening scene is the Chinese culture revolution where they've got a physics professor in a dunce cap and they're beating him, telling him to reject science as they all scream and wave the red books. And you got to see it. The wife comes out and she's like, thank you, youth. Through the revolution, I've realized that science is all wrong. And they're cheering for her. Wow.
For context, for people that haven't seen it, they are literally questioning him for teaching Einstein's theory of relativity. And I've said this before on the podcast, and this drives it home. The communists have a total different understanding and worldview. And this isn't just like the way that they look at things that you're used to seeing every day. It is a basic fundamental difference. They don't believe that you can be in contact with with reality the same way that we can. They believe that if you speak certain words, it's like they believe magic. They believe that words have power to the point where they can speak things into existence, which is represented by the demand that you call a trans woman a woman, because to them the words have power. They don't believe in overarching narratives because they want to be able to select a narrative that gives them a position of power in whatever context it is. So science and things that are fundamental and unchanging, things like the speed of light and the relativity, that like the ideas in relativity, yeah, so and stuff, those kind of things are rejected by
a Western construct. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
They're Western constructs. That's why Lysenkoism was a thing.
And we mock it, right? Too often we mock it. They don't see it as funny.
No.
It's perfectly consistent within their worldview. And that's why they're immune to our mocking and criticism largely. We don't mock it and criticize it, but they're not flummoxed by it at all.
I want to give a minor spoiler alert warning. In the next 30 seconds, there will be a minor spoiler for the show, Three Body Problem, because I want to make a point about the writing, which is really, really good. So I'm going to say more time. There's a viral clip going around. It's all over X because, I mean, this is Netflix.
Right.
That's showing, it's like their hot new show. Right when you log into Netflix, there's this big banner. It's like Three Body Problem, which is a reference to like three gravitational bodies and not being able to track them. It's a math problem, I guess. So right when you start the show, I'm like getting ready for bed last week after Jack Posobiec mentioned it. And he mentioned that they depicted the culture revolution. They actually did it, which is crazy for a company to do. And so I'm getting ready for bed. And normally it's like, you know, turn the light off, turn the TV on, watch for like half an hour or whatever, go to the bathroom. I just stood there right in the middle of my room staring at the TV. And my girlfriend's like, what are you doing? And I was like, whoa, watch. Holy. It was like instantly I was just like, wow, it's terrifying. It's crazy. Now, I'll give you a quick spoiler for those that don't want to hear it. It's not a spoiler of the whole show, general premise point, because if you read a synopsis of the show, this is probably spoiled for you already anyway. So it's a woman who watches the very opening scene. They kill her father for being a physicist. They beat him to death because he refuses to accept the revolution.
Right.
She becomes a political dissident. And then the story, okay, this is like, they tell you this right away, but it is a spoiler. They're working on communicating with extraterrestrials, and she makes contact and wants to be conquered. So the general premise of the show is brilliant. A woman who was a victim of the culture revolution and these communist revolutionaries who believe we're going to destroy the old world and kill everybody because we're morally right. She immediately adopts the exact same ideology. That's the premise. It's such
well,
a great writer.
And it shows you it's still Netflix film in the end, because they're sympathetic to that approach oh, she saw all these terrible things that are going on in the world in China. She reads Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, which was some left-wing polemic that said all of the environment was going to collapse within 3 years. And it was like written in 1968. So obviously that wasn't true. And so she uses that as an excuse to push for the extermination of humanity.
So, yeah, I don't want to get too much into the spoilers, though.
It's after two episodes, you know what's going to happen.
Right. We're describing basically the first episode. They lay it all out for you. But I think first two episodes. There's a lot of plot holes.
Yeah, I haven't watched the past the
lot
two
of,
episodes.
A lot of plot holes. Thanks for watching this clip from the Timcast IRL podcast. Hang out with us live Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. and become a member over at timcast.com for uncensored, members-only shows exclusive. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.